Hello and welcome to Essex Church on this Sunday morning in June. Welcome to this, our sacred space where our community of Kensington Unitarians meets each week, welcoming all people of goodwill. Richard Gilbert writes, "We bid you welcome, who come with weary spirit seeking rest, who come with troubles that may feel too much for you, who come hurt and afraid. We bid you welcome, who come with hope in your heart, who come with anticipation in your step, who come proud and joyous. We bid you welcome, who are seeker of a new faith, who come to learn and explore. We bid you welcome, who enter this hall as a homecoming, who have found here room for your spirit, who find in this place and this people a community. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are in your life, we bid you welcome." So let's take a moment to get a sense of what it might mean to be welcomed for who we are, just as we are. No need to pretend. No need to put on appearances. What does it mean to allow ourselves just to be who we truly are? Making this time for our own thoughts, opening ourselves up to new insights. Let's take a moment to get a sense of what it might be that each of us is most in need of this morning. Welcome, everybody. I'm lighting our chalice, this symbol of a worldwide liberal, religious, Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist community, that the truth, that the light of truth and reason and justice and love might burn brightly within us and throughout our world. And may this simple flame symbolise our care and concern for all those caught up in terrorist violence, both here in Britain and in other lands, far and near. If at any time during today's service you wish to light a silent candle, we've set up a place to one side there. You're very welcome at any time to go and light a candle. And as some of you know, today is our annual flower communion. It's a very sweet and simple ritual that symbolises the diversity of humanity and the way that we can all gather together. So the idea is simple. We choose a flower from over there, or we might have brought one from home. We place it in our central bowl any time as the service begins. And then at the end of the service, we'll each take a different flower home with us. So do feel free to join in with that. Our congregation here is blessed with some lovely connections with UUA congregations around the world, and I'm going to invite you to take part in a flower communion liturgy which is written by Amy Zucker Morgenstern in California, marvellous minister who came and visited us a few years ago. And I felt that these words said it all, really. It's a celebration of flowers, and it includes the weeds and the ones that are shriveling a bit, and it's all in there, isn't it? Just like us. So I'll read the ordinary type, and if you'd like to join in response, and the lines in bold. Each of us is a flower with a delicate beauty uniquely our own. We may be like sunflowers, turning always towards the light. May our lives bloom like the flowers. We may be like night-blooming cereus, only displaying our fragrant petals when it's dark and we think no one can see. May our lives bloom like the flowers. We may be hothouse flowers, far from our native lands, cautiously tended within a harsh and unfamiliar climate. May our lives bloom like the flowers. We may be grey-headed like dandelions, eager to launch the next generation with the first strong gust of wind, past our own bright youth, but ready to pass our wisdom on in precious gossamer-carried seeds. May our lives bloom like the flowers. Some of us sometimes spring up overnight and fade in the hot glare. May our lives bloom like the flowers. Some of us sometimes are roses, slowly assembling petal after tightly wrapped petal and revealing our full glory only when everything is in place. May our lives bloom like the flowers. And sometimes we are roadside weeds, lovelinesses bursting improbably from the dust and debris. May our lives bloom like the flowers. May we offer our beauty with the simplicity of flowers, expecting no recognition, hoping for nothing, giving out of what we are, and knowing it is enough. May our lives bloom like the flowers. Amen. So I think our young people's program is taking place in the library now, and we're going to settle into a time of prayer and reflection. This day of Pentecost marks the time when Jesus' early followers found themselves inspired to speak in many languages. They felt the power of the Holy Spirit working through them. So may that spirit of life and love be with us as well in the everyday moments of our lives, in the innermost spaces of our minds and our hearts, in the simple actions of everyday life, in a supportive smile or a reaching out of a hand, in words spoken or kept silent, in choices made and steps taken. So in a few moments of stillness now, I invite you to think of your own life and your own life circumstances, the places where you might value the guidance of the Spirit, whatever that means for you. And in this quietness, let us each send our own thoughts and prayers to the troubled places of our world, both at home and abroad. Especially thinking of all those whose lives have been changed or ended by recent attacks here in London or in Manchester, as well as in Afghanistan, in Kabul, and in Mosul, in Iraq. Just two of the so many places where conflict is a daily occurrence. May all who suffer find support from those near them, and may our world community be tireless in seeking solutions to age-old problems. And may we be courageous in putting our faith into action each and every day. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen. It's often been said, hasn't it, that tough times bring out the best and the worst in humanity. Within a few hours of the suicide bombing at a concert in Manchester just under a fortnight ago, someone had set fire to a mosque in nearby Oldham. And then we contrast an act like that with the bravery of those who tried to save the lives of others, those who ran towards danger in order to help, and those who worked tirelessly and are still working to save lives and to make an unbearable situation a little more bearable. The helpers, the ones who care. I've long thought that coming to terms with humanity's ability to do the very best and the very worst is part of being human. And it's also part of growing up, of maturing. We have to face our infinite capacity for creativity and for destruction. And we have in our own lives to make choices. Do we stay with that which lowers us? Or do we lift ourselves to be the best we can be? Fear is a completely understandable reaction in frightening situations. We actually have no choice about feeling fear. It's an immediate reaction. It's there as a tool of survival. But we do have a choice about what we do next. Do we seek revenge? Do we try and hurt others in retaliation? Do we feed our fears and shrink away? Do we feed the fears of others? Or do we step forwards, making a choice about putting our values and our faith into action? On our hymn sheet today, I've included words from two unnamed people. One's a young woman who wrote this recently. She'd just been told about the concentration camps of World War II, and she'd just been told about a prayer written by someone in one of those camps. You might want to read along as I read this out. She wrote, "I don't know what's harder to fathom, the atrocities committed by the Nazis or a prayer found written on a piece of wrapping paper in Ravensbrück, the largest concentration camp for women in the war. The prayer asks God to remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted on us. Remember the fruits born of this suffering, the loyalty, the humility, the courage, the generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits which we have borne be their forgiveness." A prayer from Ravensbrück. I hope I can have that kind of greatness of spirit. A few words now from another colleague, Andy Pakula. "When we see the stranger and look on his ways with fear, when our suspicion grows and hatred comes close to hand, let us know that these others are not our enemy. The enemy is much closer, much harder to eradicate, and its name is fear. And knowing this can be its undoing. So let us journey towards understanding, towards compassion, towards justice, and towards love. And may this be so." I'd plan to speak today about some of our courageous nonconformist forebears, the people who worked for a world of religious freedom, for education, for equality, causes which led some of them to lose their lives. Theirs is a really proud history of being guided by their faith to do what they felt to be right, to stand up for causes they knew to be just, to risk all for a better future, for others more than for themselves. I'm going to perhaps return to this topic later on in the month, because we're spending a whole month on this theme of courage and resilience. People to look up if you're interested in knowing more. People like Servetus and Socinius, those who were deeply involved with the shaping of human consideration of the nature of the divine and prepared to lose their lives for that. People like John Biddle, who spent a large part of his adult life in prison, a school teacher capable of translating the Bible into English and quickly realizing how very important that was as part of the dismantling of the power of the church at that time, and spent most of his life locked up for that. I'm just going to focus mostly now on Norbert Čapek, who devised this flower communion for his own congregation, held for the first time on June the 4th, 1923. From that simple beginning, this ritual has spread to Unitarian congregations around the world, symbolising the bringing together of diverse individuals into a church community like this. Čapek went to work in America, but he chose to return to his congregation in Czechoslovakia as the power of fascism was growing throughout Europe in the 1930s. He could have escaped, he could have saved his own life, but he chose to stay in his own country. He chose to stay with the people that he loved so much. He was eventually arrested by the Nazis and imprisoned for listening to the BBC on a radio, and he died in Dachau prison in 1942. So as we in a moment conduct our own version of this flower communion, let's think about Čapek and the unique individual that he was, unique as each of us is, called in our own times, in our own circumstances, to stand up for what we know to be right. Let's honour his memory, let's honour his commitment to liberal religious expression and his willingness to stand up against tyranny and oppression for that which he knew to be right and true. But let's also fill this ceremony with a meaning that is relevant for us today. The message that we are all unique but equal is often heard, often spoken, isn't it? Yet truly putting that ideal into practice continues to be a challenge for us all. Let's remember that there are still forces of oppression, still forces of tyranny, still confusions caused by prejudice and lack of education in our world, in our British society today, as well as all around the world. My hope is that we can be the people who help to heal such divisions through vision and commitment. Čapek wrote that the church's task, he felt, must be to place truth above any tradition, place the spirit above any scripture, place freedom above authority, and place progress above all reaction. And so it's in that spirit that I now bless these flowers of ours here together in one container. In doing this, I'm recognising the unique contribution that each person brings to the society in which they live and to the groups in which they belong. Let's give thanks for that wondrous spark of individuality that makes us, each of us, who we are. And in a moment of silence, let's just be grateful for ourselves. Whoever you are, however you're feeling about yourself this morning, just be grateful for the life you've been given. However fragile we sometimes feel, however flawed we know ourselves to be, and let's give thanks for one another. The intriguing, irritating, glorious, sometimes frightening and exasperating folk who share our planet Earth home with us, including those who are horribly misguided. And let's give thanks for this, our church community, and for all communities on planet Earth. And as music plays now, I invite you in your own time to come out and to silently choose another flower to take home with you, or several flowers. And there are some vases at the back, and there are several vases here. And sit with that flower and bring your own meaning to this simple blossom. Courage calls us to step forwards in life. Courage reminds us to honour our fears but not be limited by them. Courage reminds us of the power of love to heal and to hold us this day and all days. May we each, in our different ways, choose to step forwards in life. Amen. Go well and blessed be.